Tonight, you're going to make a memory that will last a lifetime. That memory could be of you standing in a roaring crowd, helping your team defend home ice. Or that memory could be of you watching the game at home, while your spouse clips her toenails, and your son practices the saxophone, and your daughter makes a smoothie. Get your tickets on StubHub. Your ticket out.
This is Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Full count pitch. Swung on and hit in the air to right field. Hit deep. Bautista going back. At the wall, he looks up. It is gone. Hyun-Soo Kim takes Roberto Osuna deep. His sixth home run of the season has put the Orioles up 3-2.
So really, I mean, it came down to a tight ball game. And they get the big blow.
They say misery loves company.
Jays lose 3-2 yesterday. Ninth inning pinch hit home run. Hyun-Soo Kim.
My man. Season.
I'll tell you what. You give credit where credit is due. He really battled Roberto Osuna yesterday prior to that home run. Is it a 9 or 10 pitch at bat? Jays one up on the Baltimore Orioles for that first wild card now, which is still good news. Also more good news, they go again today. And today is a new day, Blue Jays fans. All of you people with the hashtag Fire Gibbons. The sun will rise. The sun will set. Your life should not change. However, your plans for next week might.
Do you honestly think those people want the Blue Jays to fire John Gibbons today?
Yeah,
I do.
It's crazy when you go to the hashtag John Gibbons or Fire Gibbons. It's crazy to see some of the logic behind people. Like, it's, you get four games left, but these are the same people that just don't like the guy for some reason. And, you know, a case in point, a dude is standing there taking bullets at a press conference on a game that should make him sick. And he did baseball 101. He matched guys up as well as he could. He went to guys that he has gotten the job done with this season in Grilly and Osuna. They just didn't do their jobs yesterday.
That's why the players like him, because he's so loyal.
I don't know. So you agreed with everything John Gibbons did yesterday?
No, but Baseball 101 says he did the right thing. If you look at the matchups, who hit what off of who, righties and lefties, he did the right thing. He did the right thing, and then he went to his closer, who he's gone to for basically two straight seasons, who we have lauded as the next coming of Tom Hanke, and he blew it. Threw a bad pitch. Had he not thrown that bad pitch middle inside, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this today. So, you know, are you going to go back to, like, and this is the other thing. You might be able to connect Roberto Osuna's appearance in a non-save game, the game prior to that when they won 5-1, but you don't know how Roberto Osuna feels. I haven't charted his velocity, his exit velocity, over his past two games.
Apparently the velocity hasn't changed.
So, he threw a bad pitch, and you watched him throw a bad pitch yesterday.
But doesn't it feel like he doesn't trust his fastball enough?
I don't know. I don't know what that feels like to trust a fastball, George. I'd have to.
No,
have
but
one
it feels like
it.
He's not throwing. You know, it just
this is. But this has happened more than once, and he has. If you look at the last game that he blew as well, he missed another two. He missed two other pitches in an at bat where he singled, and then another home run.
Bottom line, he's not as sharp as he has been over the course of his Blue Jays career. Over his last 17 appearances, his ERA is closing in on 6. So you can be, you know, worried about your closer. He's not great, but he's not losing his job. The decision I didn't really get was, okay, you take out Cecil. A lot of people are mad that Gibbons took out Cecil. And what I find interesting is it seems Gibbons doesn't really trust Brett Cecil yet.
Not like he did last year.
Oh, not even close. And he didn't warrant much trust until, you know, including last night's game, 15 straight appearances without giving up a run. So should you have taken him out and put in Grilly, who struggled recently? A lot of people didn't like that decision. Now, I know why he did it. A, you want to get Grilly's been good for you for the most part. B, you probably want to get him in and feel confident again if you can get it done. And C, if you look at the numbers, Trumbo has hit Cecil very well over his career. And the righty lefty matchup there, that didn't work for Cecil either. So that's why Gibbons made that decision.
Baseball 101 decision. He looked at the matchups, he looked at who hit what off of who, and he did what he thought he should do, which is probably what 9 out of 10 managers would have done.
Right.
Especially if you didn't trust Cecil like as much as you did last year.
Right, but is that a problem? Should he have trusted Cecil more because of how he's done lately and how Grilly has? The other thing I didn't get was why Grilly was left to face, I believe it was Alvarez, after he gave up the bomb to Trumbo. Because clearly Grilly didn't have it back again. And then you let up, and Alvarez hit a double off him. But apparently, I guess Osuna wasn't up and ready there in the eighth inning because he pitched the night before in a game the Jays were up 5-1, and Gibbons didn't want to have him in for more than just the one inning. So
too tempting for him, though. You know, when it's that close, that's why he got him up. We talked about it earlier. Ryan Tepera was up throwing in the bullpen after Grilly got into trouble in the eighth inning. Got out of trouble in the eighth inning. Tepera sat down, and the second he sat down, they get on the horn and they phone the bullpen and they say, "Get the big dog up." And the big dog was more like a chihuahua last night. So anyway, probably shouldn't have pitched, and it looks like that was the design, but he did. He didn't pitch well, and he missed a spot, and that's what you get. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. We get game three today, 7 p.m., Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You can watch it on Sportsnet Television. Jays Orioles still in that wild card spot, still hosting that wild card game as of today, and the Red Sox clinched. We'll get to that. George has got some World Cup of Hockey news. We have a Thursday nighter. Here's the whole thing. George with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean. The Blue Jays played the penultimate game of their home schedule last night against the Orioles with Francisco Liriano on the mound for the Jays. This season, Liriano with the Pirates was 6-11 with a 5.46 ERA and a 1.62 whip. With the Blue Jays, Liriano 2-2, 3.07 ERA and a 1.17 whip. All right, to the game itself, Chris Tillman started for the Orioles and pretty much gift-wrapped a run for the Blue Jays in the bottom of the first.
And that first pitch is whack. Left center field deep. Back goes Jones. Looks up at the track. He's there. Makes the catch. Carrera will tag. He will score without a throw. A sac fly for Edwin Encarnacion. And the Blue Jays are up 1-0 here in the bottom of the first.
Yeah, thanks, Mike Wilner on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. A Chris Davis error off a Chris Tillman throw and a Tillman throwing error set up that Edwin sac fly, giving the Blue Jays the 1-0 lead. Toronto were double their lead an inning later.
Here's a 1-2 to Pilar. Swung on a little looper out into short right field. Trumbo's there. Makes a catch. Tulo tags. Here comes the throw. It's cut off, and Tulowitzki scores. A sac fly for Kevin Pilar, and the Blue Jays are up 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0 Blue Jays after two innings. That felt like a lot for Francisco Liriano, who was dealing.
2-2 pitch. Strike three called. It was a slider again at the top of the zone. Davis again does not like the call. He was ejected last night, but Lance Barksdale says it caught the top of the zone. Liriano dodges a bases loaded jam here in the fifth.
Yeah, nice little surprise. Jerry was off six, so you heard Joe Siddle doing the home broadcast.
Really nice of them to give us two so far, and you get Angel Hernandez tonight. Three of the worst umpires in all of baseball in 1 3-game series.
Nice.
Isn't it nice? The strike zone changed all night. It was inconsistent all night, and I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about them, too. They're throwing guys out for looking at them the wrong way and chewing his chew too hard. These umpires have been terrible in this series. Absolutely awful. And you may get the worst one tonight. You want to see a hot team? Wait and watch Angel Hernandez exact revenge for the embarrassment he caused us last June. Watch and see what happens.
Yeah, garbage.
2-0 Blue Jays heading to the bottom of the sixth, where Joey Batts totally forgot how to run the bases.
Counts even 2-2 on Tulowitzki. Bautista off second, Martin off first. The pitch popped into shallow left field. It's coming. Nolan Reimold slides, and he makes the catch. Jose Bautista is rounding third base. He misread the pop-up. Reimold flips it into second to scope, and it's an Orioles double play.
Still 2-0 Blue Jays in the top of the seventh, and back to some more Liriano sweetness.
Full count pitch swung on and missed. Liriano strikes him out. Strikeout number 10 tonight on his 100th pitch.
Yeah, Liriano would leave in the top of the seventh inning with runners on first and second, and Brett Cecil in to mop it up.
Full count pitch swung on and missed. He struck him out, dropped a hook on him, and Brett Cecil does his job. John Gibbons coming out to get him. Cecil retired all three Orioles he faced, make it 15 consecutive scoreless outings and 25 of 27.
Yeah, Cecil finished off the seventh, and that strikeout of Chris Davis gave way to Jason Grilli. But real quick first, back to Liriano. He pitched 6 3rd innings of 6-hit shutout. Liriano also had just 1 walk and 10 strikeouts, and it was the first time Blue Jays starting pitchers have recorded 10-plus strikeouts in back-to-back games since April 23rd, 24th, 2011, with Brandon Morrow and Ricky Romero.
Do you think he was premature in pulling Liriano?
No, he was
up. He pulled him when he gave up a hit, so he had a guy on, gave up a hit. He had already thrown, what, 102.
I think it was the right call because Brett Cecil's been so good too.
Yeah, Cecil got.
And then
you
asked the question: should Cecil have stayed in? And is he pull happy? I guess
that's the question:
is he pull happy yesterday?
That's the one I think. And Liriano has looked very good. He hasn't looked that good the third time through orders this year, even for the Jays during his nice stretch. So I think Gibbons got that part right. But you're right. You know, into the eighth inning was where people are really questioning.
Well, you know, it's funny because and I get it. I know why they are, but I get why he did what he did when it comes to matchups. I get why he did what he did because of loyalty and the body of work Jason Grilli has put in and what he's meant to this team, getting him to this point, because he's been really, really, really important. So is Roberto Osuna. So, I mean, you can question some of those decisions, but the bottom line is, if you look at the line, Liriano goes 6 1/3, 6 hits, no runs. You pointed out, walked a guy, struck out 10. Cecil was tremendous. He goes an inning, strikes out a couple of guys. And then in walks Grilli, 2/3 of an inning, he blows it. And then Roberto Osuna, he comes in and he blows it. So, I mean, you look at what they've done recently, it's frustrating to watch, but these are the guys. This is what they've done all season. They just chose a terrible time to not do it.
And would Benoit have been in there instead of Grilli?
That'll be fun today for people, won't it?
Well, it's
that
not
really
fun.
Criticize the brawl and the Blue Jays and their decision-making. That'll be fun. Yeah, I know it's reality, but people are going to use it like crazy today to justify their points.
But they can justify it. I know we feel differently on that, but if the Jays maybe handled that smarter, they're not in this position. Because maybe John Gibbons does go to Benoit there instead of Grilli, because Grilli hasn't pitched that well lately, and if Benoit was there, would he have taken that? And so now it's on the Jays to figure out a way of navigating through this bullpen, which has a severe lack of depth.
Well, you guys talk about the Jason Grilli. Well, here's the pitch you threw to Mark Trumbo. And Mike Wilner, he threw the voodoo on this one.
Joe, there are a lot of superstitious people out there, but I'm going to say this anyway. Mark Trumbo has 45 home runs this year. Not a single one of them against the Toronto Blue Jays in 16 games. I am not magic. 1-0 pitch, swung on and belted. Maybe I am. That's hit a ton down the left field line. Hooking and gone. Come on. Mark Trumbo with his major league leading 46th home run of the season cuts the Blue Jays lead in half. The Orioles down now 2-1. And I'll be giving out the Lotto 649 numbers later.
Yeah, great call by Mike on that. All right, so 2-1 Blue Jays heading to the top of the ninth after the Jays failed to score a run with the bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth. Remember when we talked about Roberto Osuna, how we should have gave him a better nickname than Osuna Matata, which means no worries, the whole Lion King thing? We liked El Stoppo. Well, last night you had to worry about Osuna.
Osuna.
Matata. Ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days.
Full count pitch. Swung on and hit in the air to right field. Hit deep. Bautista going back. At the wall. He looks up. It is gone. Hyun-Soo Kim takes Roberto Osuna deep. His sixth home run of the season has put the Orioles up 3-2.
I'm so worried about what's happened today.
Yeah, you want to hear the Korean call of that Hyun-Soo Kim dinger?
Mm-hmm. 9-2입니다. 3-2 full count입니다. 잡아당겼고요. 루트. 자, 우익수 탐자. 넘어가죠. 넘어갑니다. 김현수. 역전 투런포.
네, 김현수 선수.
Yeah, Zach Britton came in to pitch the bottom of the ninth, and he mowed down the Blue Jays like nothing. Yeah. He's 47 for 47 this season. And Faber brought up this point earlier. I think he is the Cy Young Award winner to me. Nobody's as dominant as that guy.
And real quick, let's get to the Cy Young thing, because an article was released yesterday on the possible Cy Young candidates, and Aaron Sanchez's name was absent. Did you read that?
Yeah.
And you know whose name was on it? It was Cole Hamels, who's 15-4.
Right.
With an ERA that isn't as good as Aaron Sanchez, who's 14-2. And so here's a question, and I don't disagree with you, Zach Britton should, and this is just a quick aside, maybe we'll talk about it later. Here's a question. Do wins matter in Cy Young voting?
We already talked about that. And apparently they do.
Yeah, they sure do.
But Zach Britton looks like Dennis Eckersley circa 1992. He's just mowing dudes down. Blue Jays lose 3-2 to the Orioles. Jason Grilli, he says, things are fine. Don't worry about the bullpen.
It's not fun to lose a teammate, no matter who it is. Our morale is good. This is what September baseball is like, right? I mean, if you see any of these other games, they're pretty similar.
You want to hear John Gibbons just being positive Pete post-game too?
Well, I've told you guys all along, since I've been with this group, that's what they do. You know, they're resilient. I mean, it was a hell of a two good teams battling. You know, it came down to the end. You know, they got the big home run there. So, but I mean, really, it was two teams, a lot at stake. They came up with a big blow.
There you go.
But all is not lost. It feels like the world is ending today, right? All they got to do, if you go out tonight, Stroman gives you the effort he's given you the last 10 starts.
Yep.
Bullpen doesn't go out there with a gas can, and the offense scores more than you should be fine, right? You would take 2 out of 3 against the Orioles.
100%.
So all is not lost, but there's some concerning, obviously, some issues in the bullpen. Right.
Absolutely. You got lots of baseball to play yet. Your last 3 games against a team that clinched, so there's a possibility that, you know, if Texas hangs one and they're able to stay, they're 2 games up now on Boston for home field in the American League East and the best record, in the American League and the best record in the American League. And if that stays the case, it stays the course, there's a very distinct possibility that Toronto plays a team that doesn't put its team on the field the last 3 games. And you're not hoping on that, because you got to get your work done tonight. They got a chance to do it. You go out and do it.
That series can get really ugly in Boston on the weekend. Apparently there's a lot of rain in the forecast. So who knows how they're going to pitch, when it's going to happen. Maybe a doubleheader sliding in there. So it can be a key series. I think the Blue Jays, 4 games left in the season. They win 2. We're good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and God, I just thought about Toronto versus Texas. Wouldn't that be great? We mentioned the other good news here is the Jays did get that one win, so they do hold the tiebreaker over the Orioles. No matter
like
what happens
half
tonight,
game. Yeah,
it is for home field, and they also hold the tiebreaker advantage, unless I'm crazy and did my math wrong, over the Tigers as well. So either way, that's another positive here. We're trying to be positive. The Jays have the advantage on both those teams, so just don't go 1-3 here down the stretch.
Hey, speaking of those Red Sox, Mark Teixeira hit a walk-off grand slam with 2 outs in the ninth as the Yankees beat the Red Sox 5-3. But Boston, of course, clinched the AL East because the Blue Jays lost. Tigers beat the Indians 6-3 and 15. Miguel Cabrera hit a tie-breaking 3-run jack, while the Mariners just thumped the Astros 12-4. Robbie Cano hit a 3-run jack in the first inning. So here's how the standings shake out this morning. Blue Jays a game up on the Orioles for the top wildcard spot, 2 games up on Detroit, and 3 clear of Seattle for a playoff spot. All right, you're good. There's still breathing room. Blue Jays are in the driver's seat.
Yeah, Blue Jays are in the driver's seat, too. And don't forget, you know, the Yankees are no slouch either. And you're going to run into Boston. Jays are running into Boston last 3 games. And the Orioles are running into the Yankees. And the Yankees are playing some pretty good baseball. They just stopped that Boston winning streak at 11. They won 2 in a row. And you know they are in it till the end. They're not mathematically, well, they are, but they're not going to be in a playoff position. And they're just kind of playing for pride at this point. So, you know, no run for them either. I mean, it's a tough road to hoe for them, too.
If the Blue Jays win tonight, essentially, they're almost guaranteed to play a game 163. Maybe not the wild card game, but a tiebreaker for the wild card. Because that's what it feels like here.
And if we keep looking at schedules, Detroit go into Atlanta for the final 3, and I know Atlanta hasn't had a bad season, but they've been really hot of late. So,
and Turner Field, they're close enough Turner Field, too. So that could be an X factor for the Braves.
Let's hope so.
I'm kidding myself, but that could be an X factor for the Bravos.
Yeah, and Freddie Freeman's been unbelievable, too. He's even getting some MVP consideration, I guess. So
we're looking for any positive.
Yeah. A team with 100 losses is going to get
also,
the MVP.
Also, Venus is in Sagittarius at the moment.
Really?
And it's a vernal equinox. So we'll see what happens.
That's leaving all that stuff. Hey, let's get to the World Cup in Scotiabank. Scotiabank is a proud sponsor of the World Cup of Hockey. Canada will look to put away Team Europe and hoist that prestigious World Cup of Hockey tonight. The game goes down at 8 o'clock on Sportsnet 360, the CBC, and sportsnet.ca/590. Mike Babcock was asked about the pressures of trying to close it out for Team Canada.
We came in here like we always do. We did our work. I got a workout in. I'm going to go home. I'm going for dinner with coaches and their wives. Going to enjoy that. Going to have a team meeting tonight. Going to sleep great. Going to get up in the morning like... Well, I'm going to do what I do. That's what you do. You do what you do.
There you go.
It's nice to see he's got it all in perspective. You know, this is exactly how much the World Cup of Hockey means to him. He's just going to kind of business as usual and plan and prepare, and that's how he lives his life. Good for him.
More World Cup of Hockey with Nick Kyprios coming up straight ahead at 7:32. Hey, Austin Matthews had his first practice with the Maple Leafs yesterday, and he broke a pane of glass because he's awesome, apparently. Here he is talking about his first workout with the Leafs.
You know, it was fun. You know, it's hockey out there, so it's always a good time. You know, just getting to know everybody and kind of get accustomed to things here. It's, definitely a pretty smooth transition.
And apparently Fabro was saying that Austin Matthews is going to start on the third line.
Babcock said yesterday plans on starting him on the third line matching him up against other teams' third lines. And if you read between what he said, he's like, hey, listen, he's going to dominate pretty much every third line, get the kids some confidence, and then we'll move him up as is, so... Yeah. Which is smart. I think it's good, and I think you're going to get, you know what they'll do? They'll put guys like Nylander on the wing, even though he's a natural center, because they want him to start off on the wing early in his NHL career. They'll give him some support. They'll put him with, and they put him on the power play at practice yesterday too. So he's really good, and he's going to be really good for a long time. And I think it's smart what they're doing with him.
We're starting him in the three hole with our team, and then he determines where it goes from there.
The funny thing is, as soon as I heard that, I'm thinking, that's interesting. But remember how Team Europe at the beginning of camp viewed Matthews? He was like their 13th forward. Now he was... Team North America, rather.
And he's too stressed out about the game.
He had 11
tonight,
minutes of ice time in his first game. And at the end of it, he was on the top line, and he was top three in minutes.
Absolutely. Yep. So how quickly is he going to skyrocket with the Leafs? And maybe the Leafs will kind of slow him down and keep him in that role for longer, but... The way he plays, and every time we see him, he does something electric. So you just figure he won't be on the third line for long. Yesterday, he was skating with JVR and Leo Komarov. So
that'd be an interesting. And JVR is a guy I don't think we talk enough about. He could have a big, big season with the Leafs. And that's a guy who still has a lot of upside left, too.
Yeah.
He does. Hey, we got a Thursday nighter tonight. It's the Bengals and the Dolphins from Cincinnati. Everyone's favorite linebacker, Vontaze Burfict, is back after finishing his three-game suspension for repeated illegal hits. And if Vontaze Burfict isn't the best name, haha, Clinton Dix is a good one for the Packers. And Captain Munnerlin, that's a good one too.
Not bad. I love Vontaze Burfict and the way he played in that playoff game against the Steelers last year. How he was just trying to kill people.
Yeah, he was with his
head.
He
wasn't playing football. Yeah,
with his
head. Was just trying to murder anybody that was within 5 feet of him.
And he took out Antonio Brown with a headshot. Hey, Bengals, by the way, at 1-2, it's their worst start in 5 years. Dolphins, by the way, 1-2. Maybe a survivor pool pick for a lot of people.
Who do you take?
I think if you're in a survivor pool tonight, I think you take the Bengals. And I think the Dolphins are a putrid team.
What are the points? Do you have it there?
Yeah, I think the Bengals are a 7-point favorite.
Ooh.
Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, 7-point favorite.
So take the Bengals and the points.
I think so. Maybe tonight because Miami's terrible. Hey, 8 o'clock, Sportsnet 1 and City. You can watch that game. And
see, aren't you worried, though, that Miami's going to do what the Los Angeles Rams have done, which is kind of lull you into thinking they're terrible, and they might be, and then they'll go out and throw a surprise performance at you, score 36, and laugh on the way off the field?
Maybe, but I think the Dolphins suck bad. And the quarterback whisper, Adam Gase, he's not helping Tannehill. He's whispering.
No one's able to help Ryan Tannehill. Wonder if he just sucks.
Yeah.
We'll talk to more NFL at 8:15 with Mike Mayock of NFL Network and Westwood One. He's in Cincinnati to call that one tonight.
Beauty. And Toronto FC, Dean.
Yeah.
They played to a scoreless tie with Orlando City FC last night. Toronto FC is still unbeaten in four matches and has lost just once in their last 12.
Once in their last 12. And let me just point this out as well. They're at the top of the division.
Which division?
The East.
Nice.
Yeah. Looked it up yesterday. Listen, we joke around. People love this team. Very hearty support. We might be able to have some fun with it. We might joke around with it. But truthfully speaking, this is a very successful professional Toronto sports franchise that is taken very seriously across North America and has its significant share of stars. They might be 38, but its significant share of stars.
And the league is a place where really good players come to cash in at the end of their career.
Absolutely. But it's still good soccer, and you should be very proud that this team is what it is. Anyway, we're not going to talk a lot about it because it seems to not turn the dial, but I will say this. Or maybe it does, but the wrong way. But I will say this. Good for them. I think it's terrific for the city. And good for a long, much maligned franchise.
And right. Jovinko and Michael Bradley are not old guys milking it. They are good players. Jovinko's the best player in the league, and he's young and not the old guy cashing in. So there's some
He's
there's
also
some
5
positives.
Foot two.
He is that.
He's got cute little tiny feet. Little. This hour is brought to you by StubHub. Dean Blundell and Company brought to you by StubHub. Buy and sell on the world's largest ticket marketplace. StubHub, your ticket out. Hold on, because the World Cup of Hockey could be decided tonight between Canada and Europe. That beautiful trophy could be hoisted by Canada yet again. We'll get to that. And Austin Matthews broke some glass yesterday. Nick Kiprios next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
7:32. Hi, welcome. Nick Kiprios standing by. World Cup of Hockey echoes tonight. Game 2 of the 3-game series against Team Europe. Both fans in attendance for Europe will be cheering very loudly this evening. I joke.
The fans in Denmark tonight?
Yeah.
Lude.
That guy's going to be pumped.
Germany?
Those guys will be jacked.
That Thomas Vanek fan in Austria? Yeah. Excited.
No, this is a nice story. It is. It's a Cinderella story of a bunch of guys that from countries that traditionally don't play a lot of hockey, and they get together, and Ralph Kruger gives them some magical message and talks a little bit about Southampton, and then boom, they go out there and they give it to everybody, and they're in the final of the World Cup of Hockey.
What a talented dude. And you know he's a good coach when the Oilers gave up on him? Because the Oilers have a zero eye for good coaching.
Yeah, the Orioles are like the Browns, only in the NHL. We don't need that guy.
Oh, my God, he's unbelievable.
Look at him coach that Team Europe into the final. He's not good enough for Edmonton.
Anyway, World Cup of Hockey. We'll talk Leafs. We'll talk Austin Matthews, who broke some glass yesterday. This seems the big news out of his first day as a Toronto Maple Leaf. Big news.
Huge story.
Yeah, we'll get to that with Nick Kiprios, who's standing by. Hold on. Time for a quick update at 7:33 and 16 degrees. Here's George. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by Yorkdale Lincoln. Blue Jays lost 3-2 on a young Sun Kim, 2-run homer off Roberto Osuna in the top of the 9th. Heartbreaking loss because Francisco Liriano was really good for the Blue Jays in 6 3rd innings. The gun for the series win over the Orioles tonight with Marcus Stroman on the mound. 7 o'clock, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, or streaming on Sportsnet now. Last night, the Yankees beat the Red Sox 5-3, but because the Jays lost, the Red Sox win the AL East title. Tigers got past the Indians 6-3 in 5 innings while the Mariners crushed the Astros 12-2. So the Blue Jays wake up this morning, a game up on the Orioles for the top wildcard spot, 2 up on Detroit, and 3 clear of Seattle for a playoff spot. Scotiabank is a proud sponsor of the World Cup of Hockey, and the final goes down tonight, Game 2. Canada can wrap it up with a win at 8 o'clock on Sportsnet 360, the CBC, or sportsnet.ca/590. Thursday nighter in the Natty tonight, it's the Bengals and the Dolphins, 8 o'clock on Sportsnet 1 in City. And Toronto FC played to a scoreless tie with Orlando City last night at BMO.
Is it too hard to say Cincinnati, or is it just cool to say the Natty?
Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering. Like, is it the cool thing to call it the Natty?
I like to make them conversational, but I can say Cincinnati.
So but you, people job done, because I'm asking you, at first I'm like, the Natty, what is that?
Yeah, they refer to it as the Natty, the Cincinnati.
Well, thank you very much. That was exciting. 7:35. Welcome to the program from the NHL on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada insider Nick Kyprios. Hi, Nick. How are you?
Morning. I'm kind of just still stinging a little bit from last night.
If you don't know this about Nick Kyprios, folks, is I don't know if the Cazzarola is still there. It probably left.
It's still there.
Is it really?
It's laying low in the weeds right now.
Well, last year you gave, or was it 2 years ago, because you were from Greek descent, Alex Anthopoulos, Greek descent, George Poulos, the trainer, Greek descent, and explain what the Cazzarola is and what it's doing there.
The Cazzarola had a bowl of avgolemono soup that we took them. It's a Greek soup that particularly the trainer George loves. But I took it in a pot that's probably about 60 years old, and it was my grandmother's. And that's the Cazzarola is this iron-clad bowl that could, like, survive a nuclear war. That's how thick it is. It's just, it's like the Stanley Cup of
casserole dishes.
Cazzarolas, for sure. Yeah. And it's still there. It's in the locker room.
Yep.
And went on a pretty good run last year, and we've left it there just to see if there's a follow-up.
Now, will you be asking for it back after last night's performance?
No, I can't. It's too early. It's too early to make that decision right now.
So as a Blue Jays fan, someone who loves this team and sits in his beautiful backyard and watches Blue Jays games during the summer while you're off and you live and die by the team. And, you know, Elliot said he wished you would stop talking about it between breaks at the World Cup of Hockey.
Yeah.
how much did that sting in the eighth and the ninth last night?
It's like you put in like 2.5 solid hours, and then it's gone like that. It's just that's baseball, though, right? Right down to the last out. At least they're fighting tooth and nail here. You know, they beginning of September, boy, did it fall off the rails, and I didn't even think that they'd be able to kind of bring it back a little bit, but they have. So we'll play it out. I think the brawl, nothing better than a good baseball brawl to bring the boys back together.
Yeah, I said that too. You know? And, you know, you lost Joaquin Benoit, and you sort of saw the reasons why that was a big deal yesterday. But he didn't get hurt in the brawl. He got hurt, as every professional athlete does, standing up and getting off his butt to go to the brawl. So that was what happened with him. But at the same time, I think that stuff galvanizes teams.
For
the love of God, it's fun to watch, too.
And, you know, there's legit guys that will just dive headfirst into a pile and be that first guy in the line. And then you got guys, you can tell, that will let everyone else go first, and then they'll be in the back, and they'll push, and they're, you know, kind of wannabe brawl guys, but they're really not. And that's Benoit.
Yeah.
Benoit should have not only not walked, he should have crawled to the pile, right? Just be the very last guy that pushes like 20 of your Blue Jay teammates until you get to a guy in the other uniform.
And that's, then you say, you do what I would do if I did what you did for a living, or if I was in that scrum, I would have gone, you know what, one more second and I was in there.
Oh, yeah.
I was in there. That guy is so lucky. You know, I was behind six other guys because he was toast.
And then you're screaming over like 20 of your teammates before you even see a Yankee. That's the guy Benoit needed to be.
Nick, right? real quick, Nick. Tuesday's, we're all hoping, is going to be the wild card game. Where do you watch it? How are you going to take that wild card game in?
Lock yourself.
I'll go.
You're going to go to the game?
Yeah, I'll go.
You want to go with me? I got really good seats.
Where are you?
On the field. That's for that first row. Ooh. On the field. You want to go?
I'll go.
All right.
We'll go.
Like with me, or are you just saying I'll go?
No, well,
just to
I'll
get
meet
me
you
to
there,
shut up.
I think
I'll meet you there.
You know.
Let's get to the World
I'll
Cup.
Wait to ya.
Yeah, I know. All right, I know. Get it. It's all right. No, we've never really this is as far as it's gone between
really
us.
Hung before.
Yeah, you don't know how it's going to go.
I don't know what kind of energy we're going to bring them, right?
Yeah.
Between the Cazzarola and your morning show, I don't know if they're going to win or lose.
No, probably lose. Between the Cazzarola is one thing. The morning show is
it's
completely
overpowering.
No, well, yeah, that's nice of you. So let's get to the World Cup of Hockey.
Oh, there's the World Cup.
Yeah. Sure. Now, we've got 5 to 6 minutes to talk about the World Cup of Hockey. Canada-Europe should be a done deal for Canada.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure I don't know if you're tired of talking about how nice of a story Europe has been. Will we be seeing a Europe and North America entry in the next World Cup of Hockey after what we've seen happen
I don't think they certainly don't want to. They want to advance it to the point where I think they get their legitimate countries. Perhaps there's time in the next one that they didn't have in this one where you can have some countries have maybe a qualifying situation where you get in based on past performances. So I think for this thing to go to the next level, I think it was an introduction back after 12 years. And for the most part, you know, despite not a final with some cachet between powerhouses, that it was still overall, I think, a success.
Yeah.
So I think to answer your question, I hope not. And they hope not.
Yeah, me too. But you know what? Still, we've seen some great hockey, and it's replaced I said this to Doug McLean yesterday, and he agreed, and I'll get to something else we talked about. But you know, it's replaced a Minnesota Wild Columbus Blue Jackets split squad preseason game. So that's good, right?
Yeah.
What about this? What about they turn this into, because Canada is legitimately the most powerful hockey nation in the world and has proven it, you know, basically for the last 15 to 20 years. And really, by and large, it is our game. But what about Canada against everybody? Canada against every other, like a Ryder Cup. You go back to a 72 Summit Series, yeah. 8 games, Canada versus everybody else.
Yeah, I think there's value there for sure, and there'd be interest, and I'd watch it, and I know a lot of other people would watch it, but I don't think that you want to. They're particularly interested in getting away from World Cup, where you have multiple countries. I just don't think that they're going to go there. I think they're committed to this World Cup, and I don't think they're going to start bouncing around every 4 years on different thoughts and ideas. I think they really, really want to have this as a marquee brand for the NHL, and I think they're committed to it. I don't think we're going to see that, although it sounds interesting.
Nick, is Mike Babcock done as head coach of Team Canada after this? What else does this guy have to prove?
Don't finish in 30th place as a Toronto Maple Leaf coach.
But I mean, it's internationally.
It's a good start.
But internationally. Like, should he come back?
Well, it's 4 years from now, right?
Oh, so, George, sorry. George, he just put you in a body bag and zipped it up.
Let's get out of 30th place next year. Let's start there. Okay?
Yeah.
That guy loves it. He loves it. You listen to him every day on the podium. He lives and breathes by every word that he says. He loves it. And as long as they have success, you know he's going to be the first one on the list, right?
Well, especially when you finish dead last in the NHL. You get a chance to finish first in something, you'll jump
still,
at it.
When you can finish dead last and still look like you're the best coach in the league, you got something going on. Got some magic going on.
So let me ask you
the worst team in the league.
Let me ask you
and
something.
No one questions whether or not he should be there. That's how good he is.
Yeah, he's got something for sure. And he said yesterday too, and I thought it was interesting that Austin Matthews, who by the way, Nick, I don't know if you know this, he broke some glass yesterday with a slapper. Some glass. Yeah, he's special. So on top of that, he's going to.
That is special.
He's going to start on
the Leaf game. It was only the anthem thing that could do that.
Yeah, no, it's him now. We got a winner. No, he's going to be terrific, and we know that because what we've seen. In all seriousness, said he's going to start him on the third line. Coach Babcock said, start him there. It's up to him where he goes from there. Good idea, bad idea, or just a natural fit for him when he starts his season.
Oh, listen, that's why you play exhibition games. He'll dictate. His play will dictate whether or not, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how on a 30th place team you can dictate who's on the first line and who's on the third line. Seriously. So it'll just play out within itself during the exhibition games. His ability to grab attention on the power play, all of that will come in play. But I certainly saw enough, and I'm sure a lot of people saw enough of that World Cup to say he's amongst the best players in the world, and he can hold his own. He's so strong on the puck. You know, when you got a first pick overall like Connor McDavid from the CHL, and you can watch him every day, you know everything about him. There's no real true surprises when you see somebody do something when they come out of the CHL, but he took a different path, and we never got to watch him as much as Connor McDavid, but certainly through the first couple of weeks of that World Cup, you're sitting there going, man, he's even better than anybody really thought. And I think if he went through the CHL, I'm not saying that he would have had the hype of Connor McDavid, but there would have been a ton more in terms of the expectations when he got drafted by the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think he's going to be great. He's a legit 220. He's a heavy guy, plays heavy. He's great along the walls. He can get to the middle of the ice. Yeah, Toronto fans should be very excited.
Will he be their best player, yes or no, this year? Most skilled player.
He will be, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be able to bring it every night. And that doesn't mean that he's a lock for 50 or 60 points, right? They're going to go there's going to be some stretches when there's no question he's the best player. And then there's going to be some games when he's a 19-year-old rookie. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. It's not easy when you're up against 25 and 30-year-old men that have done it for a long time. But he'll get the consistency in his game. It may take a couple of years, but he's going to be a top player sooner than later.
Appreciate you doing this, Nick. Have a good one.
All right, let's get some Cazzarola power going on tonight. Seriously, we can't lose tonight.
I know.
We cannot lose tonight.
We know. They won't. They'll win tonight. They'll win big, too, like 9-1 going away. Thanks for doing this. Take care. Nick Kyprios from the NHL and Sports and World Cup of Hockey tonight. That is at 8 o'clock. Sportsnet 360, CBC, and Sportsnet590.ca. Hold on. Your fail of the day from Buffalo, surprisingly. That's next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Dean Blundell and Company's Fail of the Day.
That's when I blow it.
You blew it!
Fail of the Day comes from Buffalo, surprisingly. Traditionally, not the home of failure at all. Ladies and gentlemen, Rex Ryan prank calling Julian Edelman on a conference call prior to this weekend's game.
Julian, this is Walt Patalski from the Buffalo News. Are you playing quarterback this week?
Huh?
Are you playing quarterback this week?
Well, I'm going to do whatever the coach is asking me to do. So if they ask me to go out and give a glass of water to someone on the sideline, I'm going to do that with a smile on my face to help start team win. So you can ask Coach that one.
All right, Julian, I will, buddy.
That was Rex Ryan asking Julian Edelman on a conference call prior to their big game this weekend if he's going to play quarterback, where Julian Edelman says, if the coach wants me to go get a glass of water, that's what I'll do, and I'll do it with a smile on my face. Rex Ryan thought it'd be really cool, instead of going and preparing for this week's game, to take 10 minutes out of his day to prank call Julian Edelman as a guy named Walt Patalski from the Buffalo News.
It looks like Garoppolo or Brissett will play a quarterback for the Patriots this Sunday. But if Julian Edelman finds his way as a starting quarterback of the New England Patriots and they beat the Bills, Rexy might as well quit on the field before the game's even over. If you're going to lose to a wide receiver at quarterback because your team is that much of a disaster. And by the way, if you're Bill Belichick, How tempting is it for him to start Julian Edelman at quarterback
after
to go,
that conference
I'll
call?
I'll show you how great I am. I'll have a receiver beat you, Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Would you even be surprised if they won with Edelman at quarterback somehow?
They might be able to win with me at quarterback right. if I listen to Bill Belichick.
Like, how can Rex and look I'm, at his
I'm,
team?
I'm in good enough shape that it might be a possibility as long as they give me a moo-moo.
Right.
Blue, a white, Patriots red. Moo-moo.
And here's the other thing. Your team is third last in the NFL in offense. Your team is dead last in passing. Your team is second last in receiving. Shouldn't he be working with his new offensive coordinator to try and figure out instead of like that 15 minutes of pretending to be a guy named Walt Podolsky from the Buffalo News, wouldn't that be better spent going and preparing for this game? This is what I love and hate about the guy. Hey, it's cute and fun, but if you're 3-0 or 2-1, that conference call is hilarious. Not 1-2 again.
He's on a winning streak though.
756. We'll share that with you. @It's Dean Blundell on Twitter if you'd like to have a look at it. We'll talk to Mr. Buck Martinez to begin hour number three next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.